But when we get past the upset, we got to get to praising. To like, okay, God, instead of why me, I'm going to say, why not me? And I'm going to praise you in the midst of what I'm going through.
Welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Hanton, and I'm glad to be with you today. Today, we're going to hear from one of our special guest speakers for our Arise and Shine A New Day virtual women's conference coming up January 28th through 29th of 2022, Sonia Smith. Sonia currently works at the Salvation Army Center of Hope here in Chicago, and you are going to be absolutely blessed and even changed after hearing her story today. So maybe you want to hit the pause button for a minute and go make yourself a cup of tea and settle in, because you're not going to want to miss a moment of this conversation with this beautiful soul. So without further ado, here's part one of my conversation with my sister in Christ, Sonia. Welcome, Sonia.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here with you on today. And thank you for welcoming. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you today.
Yeah, we are so excited to have you on our podcast today. And let me just first start off telling our listeners that you are one of our Arise and Shine A New Day Women's Conference guest speakers. And we're just so excited to have you, to get to know you right now and to hear your story and hear more about you, because, you know, it's hard to condense everything into one event, you know, like really get to know who is Sonia. So why don't you just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, where you live, your current occupation and your family. Just go ahead and give us a little snapshot of who you are.
Absolutely. Again, thank you for having me. My name is Sonia Smith. I am currently the program director here at the Incredible Shield of Hope, where we serve homeless families that are seeking refuge. And it's just such a great place to be. I believe that, you know, for such a time as this, the Lord has called me to this place to minister to the hearts of those that are, you know, in need of hope from Jesus Christ. I love our name, the Shield of Hope.
Yes.
Like the very essence of what we do every single day.
Yeah.
And there's, even though there's a lot of heart, like, you know, it's hard on your heart, I just believe that, you know, God is doing a great thing in this place and people are, you know, receiving the hope of Jesus Christ. And I'm just so thankful to be here, as one of God's servant leaders. I am very, very new to Chicago, but not new to the ministry of the Salvation Army. I've been with the Army since about 2008, and God has truly brought me a long way through this relationship with the Salvation Army. You know, when I came to the Army, I was in a very dark place in my life. I was in a very abusive relationship. And, you know, many people that know my story know, you know, Sonia, when she didn't know who she was, when she was, you know, broke down and beat down. And, but God, I always say my testimony, like, what is the words that can describe your testimony? It's like two words, like, but God. But God has truly changed, like, everything about my life. Like, you know, it just, there's so many things about the but God in my life that I am now becoming the woman of God that he's always known me to be, but I didn't know that.
That's beautiful.
He had led me through the Salvation Army when I was in such a very dark place of my life. And Captain Sandra Pawar and her husband, Captain Ashish Pawar, they saw me. You know, sometimes you go to church and, you know, many people don't see you, you know, where you are, even though it's like, Heather, if I can get candid, it's supposed to be the hospital for the sick. Right. I was sick, but no one saw me in the state that I was in. But God used two incredible people to speak in my life, minister to me, you know, where I was, And I would come to church often, just so very broken and beat down. And I remember the call officer, Captain Sandra Powar, in one of those days, I was sitting in her in my office working. I was working for the Army. And she said, "Your walk is not authentic."
Oh my goodness.
So much of my flesh, because I'm one of those like very vocal people, but the Holy Spirit said, humble yourself and listen to the woman of God speak to you. And she said, you come to church one way. Now, since you come to church one way and you go home to a whole nother lifestyle. And I just began to cry when the Holy Spirit convicted me. And I said, how do you know? Like what, you know? She said, because I was once you.
Yeah.
And I began to share with her the very abusive relationship that I was going through and not really understanding how I was going to get out of it. You know, I had my kids in this. It was horrible. It was probably one of the very worst seasons of my life. You know, I contemplated suicide. I was estranged from my children. They left me, you know, I felt like so alone. And I remember her saying to me, the Lord was going to make a way of escape. I don't know when, I don't know how, but God is going to use this for its glory. Her and her husband welcomed me in their house to live when it was one time where he threatened my life. And the police came, but they wouldn't remove him because he was on the lease. And so I just never stopped chasing God.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I really want to say in essence of all of this. Even though I was going through my situation, like I never stopped believing in God. And so, you know, I thank God for his deliverance, redemption, but I thank God for most of all the two people that saw me where I was. They weren't afraid to come to the pit to get me.
I love it.
And they stayed with me the entire time. And even up to this point on today, they're one of my dearest friends, accountability partners. And I love them so much. Like, it's just, they're just amazing people. And so I thank God for that. I just believe that, you know, it's our church people, the believers, that we are come alongside people to help build them up and bring them back to, you know, what God originally had planned for them. And that's the hope that what Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to bring you a hope and a future.
Yes.
And so I just believe that that is what the Lord has done for me. And I am going to keep doing that for other people. Since why I'm here at the Shield of Hope.
I love that. I love how you are able to take your own life experience and now turn it around into something good. What the enemy may have wanted it for evil, God is now using it for good. And that is amazing. And I love what you said about those "but God" statements. Mm-hmm. I have actually, that's so interesting that you said that, because recently I have been taking real notice of that in scripture. There's so many scriptures that say, this is how it is, you know, for them. But God did this. I love that. It's everything is in those two words are wrapped around everything, isn't it? I mean, just those two simple words, but God, whatever it is. I mean, fill in the blank.
Absolutely. Like it's loaded. It's whatever you need it to be. It's like kind of, I think when the Lord says, you know, I am, you know, God is I am, whatever you need him to be in that season. I just believe like, but God for me has been my testimony. It's been my go-to for everything. You know, I was my oldest baby. I was 7 months pregnant when her father was murdered, my husband.
Oh my goodness.
I was 22 years old. You know, I had no, I didn't know that that would ever happen to me. You know what I mean? Like when you're pregnant, you're married, you're thinking, oh my God, we're going to have this wonderful future, you know, but that didn't happen. That wasn't the plan that God had for me, you know? And so that put me in another state of depression and all kind of stuff. But again, but God, like if people would, I don't even want to start preaching, but if people would put God, Heather, in everything, in their life, like go to the doctor. The doctor gives them a bad report. Okay, but God, doctor.
Yes.
Bills, you know, are due, you know, kids out of control. Satan is launching every but God, you know, like just put the but God. Just put that in there. I'm telling you, it just does something to my spirit. Mm-hmm. The enemy can't tell me anything that God can't do, because I would say, but God,
yeah,
Satan,
that's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You a lie. You are a liar.
Yes. Yes.
And I just
he
put
is.
God on everything. Everything.
Yeah.
I said I was going to write a book on a but God.
You should. Or at least like do a podcast or something on it, you know, like a series. We should just start collecting all the scripture verses and all the accounts. Yes. And oh my goodness, that's amazing. So you mentioned your daughters. Can you tell us just a little bit about your family, your immediate family?
I couldn't start off without my incredible superwoman, my mom, my queen, Anna Jean Bolton, who is an incredible woman of God. She, there's so many things I can say about her, but if I would just describe her in one word, I would say resilient. She had me at the age of 17. I'm not even the oldest, so she had my sister at 16, wow. And eighth grade education, and just for me, at a time where, you know, teen pregnancy was running rampant, she could have aborted me, but yet. But God, again, God. She chose to give birth to me and, you know, be a single mom and raise me and my siblings. And I watched how much my mom persevered in her resilience, the spirit of God over her when, you know, you got to make a dial out of 15 cents and, you know, weren't rich people. We lived not in a great neighborhood. And, you know, I just remember so many things that my mom did and sacrifices that she made for me. Even when I felt like she wasn't doing it, she was doing it.
Yeah.
And I see now, because of her many sacrifices, again, like I'm where I am today. And she taught me what it really meant to trust the Lord when don't know, when it's really, really dark. My beautiful daughters are incredible. Rudy, who is 29, she's an artist. She's just so many incredible things. She inspires me. There are many times in our relationship where, you know, I felt like I just wasn't a really good parent, but God used her along with my baby girl, Faith, who is 22 years old, to change me, to save my life. It's something about when the Lord blesses you with children, it changes the trajectory of your life and you begin to like say, I need to get my life together. I remember, you know, Heather, when I was in this really bad abusive relationship, my daughter, she was like, I got to take Faith because you know, mama, you basically you crazy. And I'm not trying. We're not trying to die. You know, like I got to go. If you're not ready to go. And as much as that hurt me, I look back on that. I'm like, gosh, she was that young. And she had that much strength. I'm like, oh my God, I got to get my life together. But there were so many times the Lord used my daughter to speak into my life. Mm-hmm. She says, Mom, if you don't deal with your demons, then me and Faith have to deal with them.
Right.
That's powerful.
Right.
You know, in itself. So, and she was so young to say this. And so I'm so thankful for my daughters. Everything I do, everything I say and how I live now is so that I could be a better person for myself and for them. Like, I want to be that, you know. Everything the enemy stole from me, I'm getting back.
Claim it.
Some things I don't want back.
Right.
But the things that the Lord promised me, Heather.
That's right. Yes. Claim it.
Yeah, I want to claim it. Claim it.
That's amazing.
And I tell women that all the time. You know, sometimes your start may not be the start that you thought you should have started. You know, sometimes it's not really good, but you keep going.
Right.
It ain't over until God says it's over.
That's
you got to get to the finish line, queens. Let's get to the finish line.
Yes. I love that. That's awesome. And to remind ourselves that we are royalty. We are daughters of the King, you know, so that makes us heirs. And that's, claim that. I recently attended a conference for MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers. And Nicole C. Mullen spoke at this conference, and she didn't sing, but they had her come and speak. And she said that she too, she was in an abusive relationship for years and years and years, and she prayed that God would save her from that, but she learned that God was walking her through it, you know, and sometimes we have to walk through the fire. Like Isaiah tells us, you will walk through the fire, but you will not be burned. And God brought her through that. And sometimes we have to walk in our circumstances, you know, but God, always, we can turn around and he's there and he's walking us through that fire. So what a beautiful testimony that is for you. And I watched your gospel tea with your daughters that night that you invited me to join that. And they are so sweet. They just love you so much. So you're close with them. You guys are very,
when we were talking about, you know, what that would look like, first I was kind of like, God was like, you know, I want you all to do this together. And I want you guys to share this on a platform so that, you know, other people that may be going through this, especially young people, they would find some hope. They would be encouraged through, you know, Rudy and Faith's story. And at first I was like, they're not going to want to talk about this, you know, to strangers, you know. But when I shared this with them and I told them, like, you know, God's going to get glory out of this. Like, yeah, and then we'll get more healing in our relationship and stuff that. And just, I just affirmed them and that whatever they say, I'm going to sit in that. And there were some things that they said to me that was.
Yeah. Well, and I noticed too, where I saw, was it Rudy?
Yes.
Yeah. She put up a boundary. I noticed that. Yes. And I appreciated that so much because we do have to keep those healthy boundaries too, where we don't want to be too vulnerable. We're not ready to be too vulnerable maybe, but, and she was not apologetic about that. And I loved that. I appreciated that so much. Yeah.
And it's important for me to recognize that. So in that moment, because I said, listen, if there's something that it's getting too much, it's okay. And when she said, nope, I think we need to put a pin in it.
Yeah. Yep.
Lost, like, and we moved on to the next thing, because I think oftentimes, you know, when people are sharing their truth, like you said, but then they have the boundary because it's maybe something they're not ready to go there. We have to respect that.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, as people of God, we have to know that boundaries are okay.
Yes.
God tells you that.
Like, I know. It's okay. And he sets them for us sometimes. And it's that scripture in Psalms, and I can't remember the reference right now, but he even says, I have set the boundary lines for you, and they are good. They're good boundaries. Like, let's stay within them. And that applies to everything, I think, in life.
You know, for your, you know, emotional and physical and spiritual stability, you know, as believers, we need to have boundaries. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that people that have access to our lives understand our boundaries. You have to communicate that out loud. And so I think, again, through my experience and my relationship with my daughters and when I was estranged and now God had reconciled our relationship, I believe that we're very open with each other. There's like nothing that they cannot tell me. Mm-hmm. They'll just tell me, you know. Faith was very open with her discussion, you know, listen, mommy, because you didn't teach me what it looked like to be in a healthy relationship with a male. I don't even know what that looks like.
Wow.
You know, and that was powerful for a 22-year-old. And what I had to do, even though I heard it before, she's now saying that out loud in public. Again, I had to sit in that and let her share that. Because that's her truth.
Right.
Like, that's her truth.
Yeah.
And I put God on that, right? As she continues to walk with the Lord and see examples of that from other people, I have to believe that God is going to change that for her.
Right.
But right now, that's where she's sitting. She's there. And I needed to sit in that. And I think, you know, as believers, we get uncomfortable when people share their truth because we, you know, we be like, you know, and our feelings about it. But the reality is that's the person's experience.
Right.
And I don't want to take from anybody's experience because God uses our experience, our ashes, and he makes them beautiful.
Yes.
So, you know, that's another thing I say all the time, like beauty from ashes, the ashes that we have experienced in our life, The Lord is making those things beautiful. It's like scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the things that you taste is sour. Sometimes the stuff you taste is salty. Sometimes it's sweet. Like I love some candy. Mm-hmm. But the Lord says, everything is not going to be sweet, mm-hmm. but at the end of it, it's going to be good because I'm good.
Yes.
I'm good. And so we have to just believe that even when we walk through the bad circumstances in our life, I'm going to taste what this is because God is good. God wants to do something in me through this circumstance.
Yeah. I was just talking to some people about that the other day, how I know God is good. And even when I can't see it or feel it, I know. And I have walked through some pretty painful circumstances myself. But when I look back, I can trace God's fingerprints there. And I can feel where his handprint is on my heart, you know, walking through all of those things. I know that he is still good. And you know, sometimes I have to remind myself too that following God's will doesn't mean it's going to be easy necessarily either, but it's going to be right because it's good. It's his plan. So yeah, the goodness of God. Claim it that God is good and that it chases after us. His goodness runs after us.
It runs. Like he says, my mercy endures forever and ever. And so sometimes I think even before, you know, I was at this place where like, I just know that God is good. Mm. You know, sometimes I would look at my things that I would go through in my life, Heather, and be like, why me, Lord? Mm. And God could take your questions.
Like, oh yeah.
I want to tell that to people. You mad at God. He could take that.
That's right.
All throughout scripture, people were like upset with the Lord. And the Lord was like, all right, I could take your being upset.
Yep.
He could take that because he understands
that
what that feels like. He knows that he could take all of that. But when we get past the upset, we got to get to praising. Mm. We got to get to like, okay, God, instead of why me, I'm going to say, why not me? And I'm going to praise you in the midst of what I'm going through. I'm not going to keep, because it for us to keep being mad at God, the enemy now is exalted in it.
Right.
We don't give him no credit because he's a liar. He's the father of lies. And so turn your upset and begin to praise God. And I tell people that a lot, like, you know, but that only comes through the experiences with God.
Yep.
And that builds your relationship. You have to journey through that. That's like a personal thing.
Yeah.
God wants to have like an intimate relationship, and everybody's journey looks different. Like everybody. I can't say, Heather, what you've gone through is the same as I, but we know at the end of the day, the encounters we have with him is so sweet.
Yes.
To the palate. It's like nowhere else you want to be. It's like, had I not gone through that, Jesus, I would not have known you as this or that, you know? And so you wrap it all up and you're like, God, it's just mind blowing. Sometimes you just gotta sit and weep. Sometimes, Heather, I just sit and weep.
Oh.
And I just can't believe this. It's just unbelievable for me.
My car steering wheel is very tear stained. Very tear stained. I will have my morning prayers on my way to work sometimes in the shower, sometimes, you know, on my way to work. And there are times when I am crying out to God. And then there's other times when I just sit and listen. And you, like you said, just weep at his goodness and at where I can see it, where the evidence, you know, of his goodness in my life. So praise God for that.
Praise him. And prayer is another thing that's very essential. I think as believers, we have to understand that prayer has to be a priority. It just has to be the everything.
Yeah.
It's how we communicate with God. And so, you know, prayer has to be the very top priority thing in your life. I come from a praying family. Mm. My family is prayer, all of them prayer warriors. My grandma, we all were just a praying family. So I got to sit under that. And so even when I was in the midst of what I was going through, if I didn't know how to pray certain prayers, I knew they said, just say Jesus.
Yes.
I would just say Jesus. Yeah. I didn't know what to pray, but I knew Jesus.
That's right.
If I say this, if I call, Bible said, just call on my name. I'm a present help in a time of trouble. And I understood, like, Jesus. I would pray, Heather, that I want to be all over the place. But I remember, you know, growing up, my grandma passed away. I was 12, so devastated. Mm. Just another amazing woman of God. I would see her just really caring for people like Jesus. And I remember praying all the time, God, I want a heart like that. Mm. And God, I want a heart like yours. Now, I didn't know that that meant that I had to do some things. Because I didn't understand. I think 12 years old, Heather, like, Jesus, I just want a heart like yours. I just want to love everybody. I didn't know, Heather. Oh, yeah. That meant I was going to be persecuted, that I was going to be, you know, rejected, abandoned, like, whoa, you know. And so I tell people all the time, when you pray those type of bold prayers, and even when you're younger or you're older, Lord, I want yes to your will. Those are loaded prayers.
They are. That's really true.
You gotta watch what you're praying for, but it's all good. It's all good at the end. So, yes.
That's right. And, you know, he stretches us in lots of different ways, and he wants us to be bold for him, but he'll come with us too. Oh, that's beautiful. Beautiful. Weren't you just incredibly blessed by Sonia's story today? What a beautiful testimony of redemption and grace. And this is only part one. You got to come back for part two. And I just want to remind everybody about the Gospel Tea, which is Sonia's Facebook Live every Monday night at 8 p.m. Also, want to do another plug. Remember to register for the Arise and Shine A New Day Virtual Women's Conference coming up January 28th and 29th of 2022. Go to www.uscwomensministries.com. Right there on our homepage is the link for the conference site. So check it out. Don't delay. Registration ends December 1st. Thanks for joining us today. And you want to be sure to check back for part two of this conversation. Look for that to be dropped soon. In the meantime, I hope that this podcast has left you feeling prepared and equipped for tomorrow. I'll see you soon. God bless you.